sermon this evening comes from John chapter 8. We'll start the reading at verse 21. This is Jesus speaking. Then he said again to them, I go away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they were saying to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak these things which I have seen with my father. Therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my words. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar, and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Pray with me. Our God, as we look at your truth, give us ears to hear now and hearts to understand, that we would truly know you and love you and follow you. Bless us now, God, as we open our hearts to your truth, as we bow our hearts to you and plead with you to change us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, a movie came out about a man who was adopted by a corporation at birth. And this corporation took this boy and they put him in a film set, and that was where he lived. And everyone in his life was merely an actor. And everything that happened in his life was videotaped. And this was projected and made a popular television production. And people would come and they would sit down and they would watch this story and they would enjoy this story. And the man had no idea that everyone that he knew was an actor. He had no idea that everything that he was in and everything he was a part of was just a film set. And yet there he was, a prisoner and utterly deceived. As we look at these Jews here, as we look at the Sadducees and we look at the Pharisees, we find a people who are utterly deceived. They are convinced in their own thinking that they are following the one true God, that they know Him, that this is their Father. And yet, Jesus tells them and explains to them, God's not your Father. If God were your Father, you would love me. Now this is a profound statement and a statement that can be made to humanity in general. As humanity in general, except for those who take the name atheist and say there is no God, and except for those who say that God is and I hate Him, everyone else claims to be in a pretty good fellowship with God. If you walk the streets of Beaver Falls and ask people how their relationship is with God, you say, pretty good. Yeah, we get along just fine, God and me. But the reality is, if anyone loves God, the true God, they will also love Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who has been sent from God. Jesus is the very face of God. And this love and affection manifests in reality. It manifests in life. I was sitting with Ken G. Smith recently, and we were out at breakfast, and he started talking to the waitress, and he asked if she was religious. And she says, yeah, kind of. He said, oh, okay, that's interesting. And he said, ask me if I'm married. She asked, are you married? He said, yeah, kind of. There was this idea that if you're religious and that if you have this relationship with God, it's manifested in a certain way. It's manifested in deed. It's manifested in action. It's manifested in affection. You expect it to look a certain way. Well, here, as we look at these passages, Jesus is going at it with these Pharisees. There is this battle going on, and the people are standing around and they're watching wide-eyed at this point. You did not come up against the Sadducees and the Pharisees. If you did, you were cast out. No one would do business with you. You were undone if you went head-to-head with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But Jesus is standing His ground and saying, no, you don't even love God. You are not even of God. If you were, you would love me. And then he starts taking it and he starts putting it in terms of slavery for them. Slavery. Now, it's not a slavery like I explained in the movie. It's something closer and more graphic and akin to the worst slavery that we would have seen in the United States of America. People kept in shackles and beaten and used and abused. And yet, we see a people who are utterly unaware of their condition. So this reality set before you, this truth of Christ set before you, we need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves the question, am I free? Am I really free? Am I really rescued, or have I been utterly deceived? And am I living in slavery? We see, as Jesus is speaking here in verse 31, the foundation of this freedom and the foundation of what He's talking about. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in my word, then you truly are disciples of mine. This is foundations of belief. This is foundations of thinking according to reality, thinking in accordance with truth. When we meet someone and we are going to have the Lord's Supper, we sit down with them and we want to see, do you know? know God? Do you know Christ? Before we invite you to God's table, do you love Jesus? Is the question that we're most interested in. And really, in that setting, the best that we can do is the profession of someone. What they say about themselves. What they say that they believe. What they say about their own affections and what they say about their own life. This is a profession of faith. But a profession of faith, as all words and all everything spoken, must be true. And by true, I mean an expression of reality. I've sat with many people and I've talked to them and they say something about something being true for me and something else being true for you and them not necessarily having to line up. And when I ask them for their definition of truth, they don't have one. But truth is this expression of reality, and a profession of faith must be an expression of reality, an expression of who we really are and what we know at our core. Jesus is speaking to these people. He's speaking to those who had believed in Him. So, believing in Him, and there's a lot tied up in that, isn't there? What does that mean? Does that mean to simply believe that He existed? Many people will take that posture. Many people will talk about Jesus and say, yeah, I believe that He had existed and He was a good guy and then He died. Well, if that's the end of the story, you don't really believe in Christ. Christ is the Holy One who saw no decay. Christ is the Holy One that God said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. You know, to believe is to believe in the foundation of who He is and believe in Him as He is. And as He is now, He is seated at the right hand of the Father. There until the nations are subdued. Where He is there, it is there until every knee bows to Him. The question is then, do you believe in that Christ? Do you believe in reality? Do you believe in truth? Or is it some fabrication? Something with some satanic twist to it? Any belief other than believing in this Christ, seeing Him from the beginning all the way through, wholly begotten from the Father, eternal, everlasting, sharing the deity of the Father. He and the Father are one. Anything other than that is a faith that has a satanic distortion to it. And is not an embracing of reality. Now Christ, as He's describing the condition of those who really love Him and really know Him, we look at verse 31, and this move here is continue in the Word. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. If you continue in my word. And there are things that people are really good at continuing in. Things that you have loved since childhood. Things that you have embraced, themes that have run through your life, things that you have enjoyed and things that you still enjoy. And it has really never been apart from you for any length of time. You know, I'm just going to keep my examples to myself for right now. But we have these things that exist and we have these things that are. Is the Word that for you? You know, Jesus talking about His Word, that Word, it's that strange terminology for us today. It's kind of a Christianese anymore. But are you continuing in what He says? Is it a part of your life? Is it a part of your morning? Is it a part of your thinking throughout the day? Is it a part of your evening? Is it where you go to when you're lost or scared or frustrated or abandoned? This is that picture of continuing in His Word. And it's no surprise that He puts this in terms of being a disciple at this point. The word disciple, it's a follower. You can think in literal terms, physically following the person. Christ oftentimes spoke in terms of following Him. What did He say to His disciples when He met them? Did He say, "Here's a book, go and read it"? No, He said, "Follow me. Walk with me. See the ways I live. See the ways that I love." Christian life is always referred to in Scripture as this walk. In Psalm 86:11, we call out to God and we say, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." This great expression of the Christian life, being a walk. And we should think in those terms throughout the day. I have woken up. I am getting out of bed. And I am walking in truth. I am moving through my life. I am walking in truth. I am interacting with my brothers and sisters. And I am walking in truth. I'm interacting with my parents. I am walking in truth. Interacting with my spouse, my children. I'm interacting with my co-workers. And I'm walking in truth. I'm walking in what God has said. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And we'll continue with that idea with the third step here. This is the division. The division. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And what's the other side of that? If you have people who are truly His disciples, who are the other people? Well, these are those that He was speaking to that claim to believe in Him. And yet He's warning them. If you don't walk this way, it is an indication that you are not truly my disciples. I think of it in terms of a timeline. We have a big timeline up in our house for our homeschooling, and it starts with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes through, and we have different markers as it goes through, and it comes to the time of Christ, and it comes all the way up, and this is specifically Elias. So it's got a little drawing of her right there where she was born in 2006, and then it goes out and ends in a question mark there at the end, because we don't know when it's all going to get all wrapped up and sealed up nice and neat. Well, we look at this, and we think in terms of those abiding in Him. Those continuing in Him. And if you look at your life and you consider it a trail of walking with Him and being with Him, knowing Him and loving Him, those times where we choose to go off the path, it's a time when we're not abiding with Him. And that's a threatening place for any of us to be. It's a place that calls for repentance. It's a place that calls for change. And even with that imagery, I want you to think in terms of any decision is a course adjustment in your life. And when you're off course a bit, you're no longer going to the same destination that you had planned without another course adjustment, without a turning, without a repentance. So Jesus lays out this picture of those who say that they're His. But the question is, are they? And the answer is, if they don't continue in His Word, the answer is no. In John 17:12, this is Jesus praying to the Father. He says, "While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished. But the son of perdition, so the scriptures would be fulfilled. And this here, Jesus is talking about Judas. When you had the disciples together and Judas was there, nobody knew. Nobody knew that Judas wasn't a true disciple. None of the brothers got it. Even the disciples were completely convinced at that point. And the way that I would back this up, when they were at the dinner and Jesus says, one of you is a betrayer, I would expect everybody to go, Judas! Yep, Judas. We called it Judas. No, everybody said, whoa, not me, right? Nobody knew. And so there's this threat that we must consider, and Jesus lays it out for us. If you continue in my word, this is the evidence. This is the verification that you truly are his disciples. Our fourth step here, we'll read verses 31 through 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now this idea, truth, that's actually knowing reality. Leslie and I were counseling this past week, and I was relating my philosophy in counseling with her. And once my children asked me, so what are you going to do? When I was going to go work at the counseling institute. And the idea is this, that I go and I meet with people and I listen to them. And I discern where their thinking doesn't line up with reality. Where it doesn't line up with truth. From there, I give them the truth. So that their thinking lines up with reality. So that they know what's real. They know what's true. And then they'll think rightly about their circumstances. Then as people think rightly about their circumstances, they will begin to feel rightly about their circumstances. Jesus said, and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. That truth is continuing in what he says. That's embracing reality. A lot of times Jesus uses the illustrations from farming, separating the wheat from the chaff. The chaff, you have the wheat and you have these light little shells that are on top of it, almost translucent. And you could throw the wheat and the chaff in the air and the chaff would blow away because it's so light and the wheat would fall back to the ground. I think of the lies that we cling to as holding on to this chaff. These things that don't line up with reality, but we clutch them as hard as we can. And when we come to those moments in our life where we see that what God has said and we choose to let go of these things that have become precious to us, things that we've loved, I can just see clenched fists loosening and lightening up and the wind blowing away and these things just taking the chaff, just blowing out of our lives, this emptiness. The pain, the futility. So much of our hurt comes from clinging to these things that ought not be. And so much of the healing and the freedom comes from letting go of this chaff and embracing the reality as Christ expresses it. Our fifth step here is to watch out for wrong assumptions. And this is specifically wrong assumptions about ourselves. Jesus was telling them about being set free, and they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? These guys are delusional. They are utterly delusional, even if they are simply speaking in some form of spiritual terms, because they've been enslaved to everybody as the sons of Abraham. They've been enslaved to Egypt. They've been enslaved to Babylonians. They've been enslaved to Assyrians. We're currently enslaved by Romans. They were also enslaved by Satan at that very point. And yet, And somehow, in their minds, they can justify saying, we've never been enslaved to anyone. That's the definition of crazy right there. I mean, that's the definition of delusional right there. And it's a wrong assumption. And if you can look honestly at the world and look honestly at our culture, you will find a mass of people who are delusional. A mass of people who are crazy. With no idea that they are actually currently enslaved. America, let freedom ring, right? Are we free? Is the United States free? Or are we in some of the tightest bonds of slavery and sin that have ever been known? We're in the slavery of our own sin, the slavery of our own minds. Now they put forth this idea about being Abraham's descendants at this point. And yeah, if you're really a descendant of Abraham, if you are really a descendant of Abraham, you're saved. And by that I mean if you really have the faith of Abraham, if you really trust in the one true God, you really are saved. You really are delivered. But as Jesus speaks to them, it turns out they're not Abraham's children because they don't have faith. They're not Abraham's children because they don't love Jesus. Abraham's children love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you are Abraham's child and you are saved. But what other assumptions might someone harbor? I've talked to people that they start asking about my church and they say, oh, Presbyterian, I'm Presbyterian, we're good. You know, I'm like, okay, we're both saved, we're Presbyterian. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe not. If you're assuming you're saved because you're Presbyterian, probably going to hell. You know, meet people who are Reformed Presbyterian. Yep, Reformed Presbyterian, we're good. Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. If that's your hope, I'm pretty sure you're going to hell unless you adjust your thinking and adjust your heart. Even in terms when I meet people who think they're Christian, and it's a label applied to them. I'm Christian, so we're good. The question is, are you really? Are you really? We started off looking at verse 31, and Jesus at that time was speaking to those who had believed in him, apparently. And yet at that point, he's warning them, if you don't abide in my word, if you don't continue in my word, if you don't continue in what I say, you're not really my disciple. And this is for each of us. Who are the Sadducees and Pharisees today? Who are they today? They would be people sitting in the pews. They would be the people who thought they had their acts together. Our lives must be guarded against that idea. We must look and see and watch our assumptions and make sure that none of it's an assumption, but all of it is grounded in the reality of the person and the work of Christ. And echoed in our actions, echoed in our relationship with Christ, echoed in our relationship with the Word, our love for God, our love for one another. Which brings us to our last step here. True slavery and true freedom. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. And this is a reflection of the whole relationship that God has had with his people from the beginning of his relationship with his people. We look back and we see Abraham, and God speaks to Abraham as he lives with these idol worshippers and says, come out. Come out of there. And he delivers him out of there and makes a relationship with him. If you look at his descendants in Egypt, as they were enslaved there, how does he deal with them? He says, come out. him out. Even when he gives us the Ten Commandments, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And I say to you, as you deal with your sins, come out. Come away from there. You who trust in Christ, this isn't who you are. You're not in these shackles anymore. You're not in this bondage anymore. I heard a story of a boy who bought a bird off of a man. And the only reason he bought this bird in this cage was he wanted to set it free. So he takes this bird out and he thinks he's done this wonderful thing. And he opens the cage door and he reaches in and the bird gets on his finger and he brings it out. And he goes like that and the bird turns around and flies back into the cage. You know, all of our sins like that. All of it. Your sin, you know, it's putrid. Your sin, it's disgusting. It tastes sweet at first, doesn't it? It tastes sweet when we're tasting it, but then it turns nasty. It turns vile. Well, you who the Son has set free, you are free from that. You're free from the ugly. You're free from everything disgusting. And if you're struggling with any sin, I want to talk with you about it. I do. And let's get our thinking lined up with reality. Let's get our thinking lined up with truth. Let's get our thinking lined up with what God says, because deliverance has been granted. You have been redeemed, bought back from every evil, you who trust in the Son. So I call upon you each. Throw off your shackles, every sin that so easily entangles, and walk in the truth as you love the Lord Jesus Christ and He has set you free. Pray with me. God, our God, thank you for our freedom. Thank you for our rescue. Thank you for your truth. God, do cut us where we need cut, that you would be glorified in a good healing. And the blessing and grace in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last psalm is 107.